Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, let's pray together. Get into God's Word together, shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We are reminded of how good and how faithful you are. In our weakness, in our failings, you are strong. You can be relied on. In times of trouble, you are our fortress. All of this is made possible because of your goodness to us, your graciousness to us. Jesus, you paid everything for us. Our sin debt is paid in full through the cross. And for that, we thank you. God, we live each day in confidence, in assurance, because of who you are in us. Help us to be reminded of that in our day-to-day lives. Help us to be confident in that and live lives full of joy and assurance because of that. Help us to be reminded through your word of how often we need you and how often we are relying on you. Make us aware of that. And help us to boldly lean on you in all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was about the end of March. That seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? The end of March when we started doing our live services, and this is actually our eighth time doing Facebook Live away from us as a church family. And I got to tell you, it's not easy. As a pastor, it's pretty hard to not be able to spend time together with church family and to gather together and see and experience the fellowship of one another as we enjoy gathering together and responding to the Word of God. And in all honesty, I say this, it also brings about a feeling of inadequacy in me. It's like, man, I don't have the capability to pastor my church family in the way that I want to. And I sense inadequacy, and sometimes that brings about frustration in me. And it's really because of these times that I am reminded consistently to not look on my own inadequacy, but rather focus my attention on Jesus' sufficiency in me. And this is definitely one of those times. And our passage of scripture that we're going to look at reminds us so much of how wonderful and sufficient God is, even in the middle of our inadequacies. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Our passage in Philippians is really meaningful to me personally at this time more than ever. And really, if I'm honest with you, one of the reasons I really wanted to go through Philippians with you is because of this specific passage that we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 1. One of the reasons is this. Paul is getting ready to share his heart with his church family in Philippi. And he shares the fact that he's separated from them in prison right now. They're not together. And potentially, Paul is going to be, he's facing death itself. And so Paul kind of shares his longing to be with them. But also the fact that he is confident that Jesus is with them and that Jesus is shepherding them even in his absence. So let's take a look together in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 11. And we're going to start with verse 6. I kind of ended last time we were in Philippians before we looked at Lydia. We ended at verse 6, and I want to go back to that because it's so helpful to understand what we're going to be looking at over the next couple of verses. And here's what it says. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Think about what that means. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is so good for us to remember. It's good for me as a pastor to be reminded of this, and it's good for us as a church family to be reminded of this as well. Who are we trusting in as we walk through life? Think about that for a second. Who are you trusting in day by day as you walk through life? Who do you go to for help? When you have problems, when you have difficulty, who's the first person that you run to in those difficulties? Where do you go when you're discouraged in life? Who's the first person that you run to? That person should never be your pastor. He should never be the first one you run to, because it should be Jesus. Because Jesus is the one which we will find out started a good work in us, and He is the one who completes that work in us. This is good for us to be reminded of. And this is what we looked at in the passage. Verse 6 says that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So here's the question. This is what we're going to look at. What is this good work of Jesus? What is it? What is the good work that Jesus performs in us? And that's what we're going to look at. The first thing, there's actually a several different, a twofold aspect of this good work. And the first answer to this, the first part of the answer, is our salvation. Our salvation. And we saw this last week in Ephesians. Go with me to Ephesians real quick. It's the letter before Philippians, the passage before Philippians. Ephesians, and we're going to look at verse Ephesians 2, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9 real quick. It says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And here's the thing that's important for us to remember. The Bible describes our being accepted by God as a gift of God's grace to us, not a reward for doing good, for doing well in life. And we need to recognize that. God gives us salvation not because of how good we live, but rather how perfectly Jesus lived here on earth. And then Jesus offers us this salvation, this gift of righteousness, by taking on our selfishness, our sinfulness on Himself at the cross, and then replacing that, applying His righteousness, His perfection to us in its place. And the thing is, He graciously offers this gift to you. All He wants you to do is put your faith in Him, put your trust in what He did for you. Let go of your trust in your own works and instead put your trust in Jesus' perfection. And when He does this, and when you put your trust in Him, He begins an amazing work in you. And this is important to remember, that this, without this first step of putting your faith in Jesus to save you from your sins, without that understanding and without that step of faith and repentance in Him, none of the rest of this matters. None of the rest of what follows matters to you, because without the first step, no other steps can follow. If you haven't taken that first step of faith, I beg you, please put your trust in Him. It is literally the best decision you will ever make in your life. And it is just the beginning of the good work that you continue to see flowing through your life as Jesus works amazing things in you and through you. This passage in Ephesians doesn't end at verse 8 and 9, and it continues on through verse 10. And it's important that we read verse 10, because it gives us an amazing glimpse into not only the salvation of the gospel, but also the continuing work that Jesus does through the gospel in our lives. He says this in verse 10. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is the amazing thing of what Jesus does for us. all through your life, as you trust Jesus, Jesus walks with you. He shepherds you along in your life. And then he starts transforming your heart so that as his love flows into you, it also flows through you to others. And his good work just continues through others until the day you meet Jesus face to face. This is that confidence that Paul was talking about back in Philippians. In Philippians 1, when we talked about the confidence that Paul had of him who is going to complete the good work that was started in the Philippian church family. This is the confidence that Paul had in what Jesus was going to do. That Jesus was the one who was going to transform them, even in his absence. This is good for us to remember. Because this gives us confidence too. It reminds us that regardless of what happens, Jesus never gives up on us. He's faithful. He continues to care for us and to work in us and work through us through our whole life. See, here's the thing. I may fail Jesus. In fact, I often do. To be honest, you probably do too. You may fail him often as well. And the reality is we often fail one another through as we walk through life together. But here's the thing. Jesus, the one on whom we depend to transform us, he will never fail us. We may fail him. We may fail one another, but Jesus will never fail us. He will accomplish the work that he began in us. Think about that. But not only will he accomplish his work in us, as he works in our hearts, but he accomplishes his work through us so that his work can also be completed in those around us. This is awesome. This is amazing confidence that this gives to us. Let's keep reading Philippians 1:7, going on to the next verse. Philippians 1, verse 7. It says this, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." This is an interesting section of what Paul's saying here. What is he saying? He says that the church, the believers in Philippi, are partakers of his grace. You see, just as confident as Paul is in God working in and through the believers in Philippi, so also is he confident that God is working in and through himself. And not only that, Paul is confident that the believers in the church believers, are actually having a part in the grace that God is working through Paul. How does this work? What's going on here in this passage? Why is Paul saying what he's saying? Here's the thing. If you remember last week, we looked at Lydia and how Lydia received God's goodness and graciousness, and then she in turn shared God's goodness and graciousness to those around her and to those who were even beyond her reach. This is what Paul is referring to. He's saying, listen, as God works in you, and then he works through you to reach others, that process of God working through you is actually helping and being part of my work here in prison as well. Here's what it means. It means that they are giving what they had. They shared what they had to meet Paul's needs as he shared the gospel to those around him. Jesus transformed the hearts of the Philippian believers so that they would give abundantly. That is his work in them. And the result of that work in them is that God works through them by them giving to Paul's needs and so that he could share the gospel with those around him. Jesus' work in them then flowed through them to Paul and to those he was reaching with the gospel. This is the amazing thing of what Jesus does with us. And think about this, all right? Because if you think about it, very few times do we actually get to see how deeply God uses our steps of faith to grow his grace, not only in us, but through us. Here's what I mean. we don't often see the effect of what God accomplishes as we labor for Him. We might see like the first stage of it, like, you know, the very, like what's around you, what may be happening in and near your presence or something like that. But God often does so much more beyond what is past our physical recognition. The grace of Jesus keeps on flowing far beyond what we can see. And Paul was reminding them of that. He was saying, listen, you have a part of God's grace flowing through me too. And he describes how that grace is flowing. Look with me, verse 7, and we can see this description. He says, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, that's one of the things, while I am suffering for Jesus in prison, you cared for me. You took care of my financial, my physical needs. You cared for my spiritual needs as you sent one of your own to help me, to comfort me, to encourage me in Christ. Paul is reminding them that your labor of love for me, God used that to show his grace in me. But not only that, let's continue. He says, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Not only is it where they took care of Paul, they also shared in the grace that Paul had as God's grace flowed not only in him, but through him in how he defended and how he confirmed the gospel. He defended the gospel from those who would attack its truths. He defended it from those who would try to pull away his power, the power of the gospel. And Paul defended that, saying the gospel, this is what the gospel is. It is not by our own works, but solely by the grace of Jesus Christ. He defended the gospel, but he also confirmed the gospel. He shared the gospel with those who believed in it, and he confirmed the goodness of God and encouraged them through the very gospel that saved them, so that God's grace would not only flow in them, but also through them as well. See how this works? Isn't it amazing if you think about it? So much of what God does in us and through us is a result of how God does all of this. And he takes just the little bit that we get to experience, just that little part, and he just expands it so far beyond what we can see or do. This is one of the exciting things about heaven. I'm kind of going off track here, but this is where we get to kind of like, when we get to heaven, we see how God threads all of the workings of grace that he did in us and through us, so that we see the effects of that when we see Jesus face to face, and when he shows us, this is how I showed my grace in you, and this is how I showed my grace through you to all of these other brothers and sisters in Christ who have a part of my grace because of your faithfulness in how you love me. I can't wait. That's going to be so amazing. So let's think about it. I lost my place. We've got to keep going. So Paul is excited about that. He's confident in that, right? But in his confidence, there's also a little bit of like deep yearning, like deep longing for Paul. He's in prison, and we see this longing, this yearning for Paul in verse 8. Look with me in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. To be honest, this is how I feel too. Like, even in these brief moments where we get to say hi together, we chat, hey man, how's it going? How you doing? You doing okay? And, you know, all these little brief moments that we get to interact with one another is just, it's just so not enough. You know what I mean? And so this is kind of like my prayer too, that Paul prays for. See, Paul prays for his beloved brothers and sisters in Philippi in the same longing and in the same yearning that Paul has for his church family in Philippi, so also have this longing and yearning to once again be together as we share God's grace together. And so Paul prays. He asks God on his behalf to do what Paul cannot do. And in this prayer, we see the same heart, the insufficiency that Paul feels while being fully confident in Jesus' sufficiency. In the same manner, this is how I pray for in my insufficiency for our church family, fully relying on the sufficiency of Jesus, our shepherd. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. In his prayer, Paul's thoughts now turn to the believers in Philippi. Paul is confident in how Jesus is going to work in them, and now he prays that they will respond to him in a way that glorifies God in their response towards God's sufficient grace in them. So here's the question. What should our response be? We know Jesus is sufficient. How do we respond to that? Paul replies, and Paul's answer is simply that our love abounds, that we have bountiful love. Sometimes letting our love abound is easy. You know, when Jesus puts like this, where it's very clear the path of good works that we talked about in Ephesians, or in Ephesians just not too long ago, how God creates his workmanship, and he gives us ways in which we can glorify God by responding in faith to him. We see that, right? Sometimes it's easy to see how to respond. And sometimes it's not so easy to see. And I think this time that we are in is one of those times where it's a little bit harder for us to recognize and to see how to abound in love for one another and for those around us. This is, I think, where we're at. So what do we do? How do we actively show love for one another? How do we actively let our love abound toward one another? It's really hard to do that when we're not together, isn't it? Like, just being honest here, it is not easy. And I think this is another reminder of why it's so important for us to gather together as a church family. This being apart from each other has confirmed the reality of the necessity of us as a church family to maintain our gathering together so that we can live and see and recognize how we can actively and intentionally love one another. Right? You see that? But also, that doesn't mean that it's okay for us not to love one another when we're not gathered together. It just means we have to work harder at it. It means that we have to be intentional in seeking out ways to love one another. We have to look for it. How do I live my life? How do I actively show one another that I love them? This makes us stop and ask ourselves this question. Let me ask this to you. Is this something that you're doing? Are you reaching out to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you checking up with them? Are you calling them? Are you texting them? Are you letting them know that you're thinking about them? Are you encouraging them and reminding them that you're praying for them? Are you asking them how you can help them? How you can pray for them? If you're not, can I encourage you to start? Do it today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Get on the phone and talk to somebody today. Text somebody today and let them know that you're thinking about them and that you're praying for them. This reminds me of our core values at Akigawa Baptist Church. We believe and we remember that we have basically a very simple core value, which is, simply put, loving God, love others, especially one another. Love God, love others, especially one another. While that is our core values, we recognize this, that we cannot love God without actively loving one another. And yet, we cannot love one another without loving God. All of this is integrated deeply, and we recognize this as we live life together. And this is what Paul reminds us as he continues to teach us through his word. Look with me And verse 9, because this is what we see. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Now, okay, so we understand the part where our love abounds, but then we come to an interesting passage because it says, in knowledge and in all judgment. What's he talking about here? How does our love abound? He doesn't say like to who. It's just basically how we love, right? But how does that abound more and more? There are two things in knowledge and in judgment. What's he talking about? Let me explain. Knowledge abounding, our love abounding in knowledge, is a description of knowing how God walks with you. Understanding how God walks with you. Let me explain it. As you walk with God, your experience, you start to experience firsthand how good God is. You start recognizing more and more the constant flow of His goodness and grace in your life. As opposed to that, your love abounding in judgment is a description of how you walk with God. Abounding in knowledge is learning how God walks with you, experiencing that firsthand. Your abounding in love through discernment, in judgment, is a description of how you walk with God. It's how you grow in your discernment, your understanding of how you please and how you glorify your Heavenly Father in your day-to-day living in life. It's kind of like how married couples grow in their love for one another. As you live life with your spouse, as you walk through life together, you grow to know what their subtle likes and their dislikes are, right? As you grow and as you grow in your love for your spouse, you start to recognize what they do like and what they don't like, those subtle differences. But also you grow to appreciate those subtle ways in which they show their love for you. And you grow in your subtle ways of how you show your love for them. You're growing in knowledge and judgment. You're growing in understanding how God shows His love to you. And you're growing in how you live and how you show your love to God. Simply put, we abound in love by actively and intentionally loving our Savior and actively and intentionally loving one another. This is what God is talking about. So here's the question. What happens when we do that? What happens when we respond well to the grace of God flowing in us and through us? What happens when we respond by loving God and loving others, especially one another? How does that result, or in what way does that result? The answer is in the last two verses that we're going to look at, verse 10 and verse 11. Let's read it together. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. This is talking about your spiritual growth. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. If verse 10 is describing how God's grace flows in you and the result of that, verse 11 describes how God's grace flows through you and the result of that. As you walk with Jesus, as you spend time in His Word, as you spend talking to Him in prayer each day, His work of grace flows in you. And what happens is it makes your heart purer. It makes your walk more blameless. You begin to see more clearly things in your life that will bring you closer to your relationship with Jesus. Then as Jesus' righteousness and His grace flows in you, it also starts to flow out of you, through you, and onto others. It produces fruit in your life. That's what verse 11 is talking about. Fruit that actually displays God's goodness as you intentionally love others. The end result of all of this, the end of verse 11 reminds us, unto the glory of God and praise of God. The good work that He starts in us when He saves us, He continues to grow in us to purify us, to make us more blameless, to make us more like the image of Jesus. And in so doing, as He grows that in us, the natural response to that, our response, is that His grace, we open up the doors of our hearts and let that grace not just flow in us, but throughout us. And in so doing, those around us see how our heart is changed by Him. But not only that, they see how our heart change continues to flow on to them. By God's grace, their heart is changed as well. So this is my desire for us. This is my prayer for our church family. Can I encourage you to intentionally focus on two things? The first thing is to make sure that you're spending time with Jesus. Are you focusing on walking with Jesus? When you do that, experience His grace in your life. Grow in your knowledge of His grace, but also grow in your discernment of your response to that grace. Learn how you can grow in loving Him more. Let His grace flow in you, but also let His grace flow through you. Focus on actively loving those around you. Don't let Jesus' grace abound in you, let it abound through you. These are the things that we learn from these couple of passages. And I hope and I pray that you'll focus on that over the next couple of weeks. Think about how God has been so good to give you salvation. If you haven't trusted in Jesus, I pray that you would trust Him as your Savior. Let that moment begin where Jesus shows His amazing grace. And here's the thing, the amazing thing is that it never stops. It never stops. All through the ages of eternity, we will continue to see God's goodness and His grace flow to us. And as we live our life here on earth, let us focus our attention on the one who gives us this grace. Let us focus our attention on those around us so that His grace can not only flow in us, but through us as well. Shall we pray? Let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank You so much for how good and gracious You are to us. What a reminder that our hope, our assurance is in Jesus. Not in us, but in Jesus. He is the one who gives us the strength we need. He is the one who gives us the encouragement we need. He is the one who helps us and walks with us so that we can confidently not only live life, but one day stand before the throne of God, our eyes fixed on our Savior. As He welcomes us into heaven, fully relying on the fact that He is the one. It is His payment on the cross that saved us. Let us respond to that. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would respond in a way that glorifies You, that we would draw more to You, that we would also respond by letting His grace flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen.